Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Harold Wong welcomes Senior Marketing Manager John Allwright to the show as they discuss the latest enhancements made to System Center 2012 SP1 and the new capabilities found within Windows Azure Services for Windows Server. Tune in as they chat about virtual networking, Global Service Monitor, and the Service Provider Foundation API, as well as demo for us how this all fits into an integrated cloud OS service model. Harold, the mic is yours.
All right, welcome to another episode of TechNet Radio Virtualization and Cloud Experts Cafe. I'm Harold Wong with Microsoft, and with me today I have John Allwright. And John, can you just quickly give a quick introduction of who you are and what you do?
Hi, Harold. Yeah. My name's John Allwright. I'm a product marketing manager working on System Center and Windows Server. And I kind of act as the interface between our very talented engineering teams and the rest of the world. So taking the great features that they put into a product and kind of building the story around that, how we talk about that, and how we make it extremely relevant to our customers.
Well, great. Well, I'm glad you're able to take some time out of your busy schedule and join us today. Can't seem to talk today for some reason. But either way, I know that with System Center 2012 SP1 coming out or having come out not too long ago, there are some great enhancements available. So I was just hoping that you could, at the beginning of this interview, give us a quick overview of some of those key enhancements. I know there's a lot, so I'm not expecting you to go over every single one, but some of the key ones that you feel are super, super important.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. And to kind of recap, so System Center 2012 SP1, it was the final release of that came out in January. And it also came out with a couple of other components that I'll talk to. You know, we're now living in a world of online services, so a new release wouldn't be anything without a couple of extra bits that are sitting in the cloud that help to make the product even more useful. System Center 2012 Service Pack 1, the main thing we wanted to deliver there was to kind of catch up and provide all the necessary support for Windows Server 2012. So Windows Server 2012 GA'd last year in October, I think it was, and it's always a kind of a tricky dance keeping the products in sync because of all the dependency testing we have to do. But in January with the Service Pack 1, we actually did that. And so now System Center 2012 actually has all the abilities to both manage and run on Windows Server 2012 and SQL Server 2012. And it takes advantage of a lot of the great features that are kind of underlying Windows Server 2012 and the scale improvements. One of the things we introduced in Windows Server 2012 was the Hyper-V network virtualization. And so that gives you the network flexibility by allowing multi-tenant virtual networks on the same shared physical network. So basically you can have overlapping IP addresses on the virtual layer, and they'll never collide because of that technology. And that's entirely defined in software. So each of those tenants gets a complete virtual network, including multiple virtual subnets and virtual routing, defined in a policy. And that's great. So you can define that with Windows Server at the individual host level. But a network, obviously, consists of more than one host. And that's where System Center really comes into play, it's kind of sitting above multiple hosts and allowing you to define a network topology of multiple hosts and from one place, in software, dynamically change the network topology. So, for example, if you use Virtual Machine Manager in System Center to move a VM from one host to another, the network can follow because Virtual Machine Manager is also tracking that. So another area that we focused on in System Center 2012 SP1 was looking at developer operations. And so in the new world that's upon us of online services, the role of developer versus IT has changed quite a bit. No longer do developers write the code for the application, then throw it over the wall to IT to put it into production. Developers are much more involved with the actual operation and availability of the application. And so we're providing capabilities that help out with that with a service called Global Service Monitor. Now, Global Service Monitor is an outside-in monitoring capability. So you have a service sitting in Azure that is constantly pinging, constantly sending requests against your web-facing application or website. And then the results of that get fed back from the cloud to your on-premise operations manager. So for anybody monitoring an application, they can have the console of operations manager, and they can see lots of different Azure points of presence all around the world and see their experience, if you like, of the application. So this mimics your real-world users who might be across the globe, and you're seeing things like network latency as well as fundamentals as to whether the application is up or not. Now, where we've really taken advantage of the portfolio of Microsoft products is then to integrate that back into Visual Studio with Team Foundation Server. So if Global Service Monitor detects either performance degradation or the service is down, that gets put on a work item queue for a developer to go in, and it has all the IntelliTrace data, so they can immediately start looking at that first failure data capture and start working on the problem. And all with the aim of getting the application back on a level footing, performing well as quickly as possible. And the great news with GSM is that's available to any of our customers with software assurance on System Center. So I'd encourage people to go and check that out today. And the last area we focused on was really aligned with our Cloud OS vision. And it's a very loaded statement, Cloud OS, but I like to think of it as really providing something unique that Microsoft brings to the table in terms of having capabilities in the public cloud with Windows Azure, but also in the private cloud, so whether that's in an enterprise data center or with a hoster. And what we're looking at is a consistent experience, a consistent platform for deployment, for applications, and for the way you run your business workloads, whether you choose to put that in a public cloud, Windows Azure, or with a hoster or in your own data center. We have capabilities with the App Controller component in System Center that let you move workloads, move VMs between your enterprise data center and Windows Azure. We have monitoring packs that let you both monitor and actually management packs that let you control virtual machines in Windows Azure from your on-premise System Center installation. And we've introduced backup and recovery capabilities that let you back up files and servers from your enterprise data center into Windows Azure. But one of the areas that I find kind of most interesting is around that consistency. That's an area I'd like to actually show a demo of, if that's okay, Harold.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. So if you're looking at that integration, right, I guess this is the release of System Center that truly does fully integrate, or just takes us to yet that next level of integrating our on-premises environment and the management of it to the Azure environment, correct?
Yeah, and you can look at it in two ways. There is the integration, so some of the capabilities like being able to move a VM from your data center into Azure. But then what we're going to look at is more of a consistency story. So if you're used to using Windows Azure as provided by Microsoft, what happens when you want to provide a similar self-service provisioning capability to your own customers, whether you're a hoster or whether you're actually inside an enterprise wanting to provide virtual machines, so an infrastructure as a service, or maybe web hosting to different departments across your organization? So it's what we're going to see is quite amazing, really. It's bringing Windows Azure either to a hoster or to an enterprise, actually bringing the Windows Azure code to an enterprise or a hoster.
So what you're talking about is actually running Azure-like capabilities or having Azure-like capabilities in your on-premises data center.
Yep, that's it. So I mentioned the Cloud OS, and here it is kind of pictorially. We have these three different destinations really for running workloads, enterprise, the hoster, and in Windows Azure. And we're running this consistent platform, and we like to think about that in terms of development tools like Visual Studio, management paradigms like the ones you're used to in System Center and Azure, in terms of the data platform, identity with Active Directory, and virtualization on Hyper-V. And we see, a bunch of benefits from doing that. And I think Microsoft is pretty unique in having being able to offer these capabilities across those different destinations. So we see the benefit, and we get a lot of really good feedback from customers who are thinking about examples where maybe a financial services institution wants to run their development test out in Windows Azure, so that they don't have to pay for that capacity. But they would never run those workloads outside the four walls of their own data center. So there comes a point where they want to bring that workload back inside the data center, but still manage it and still have the same resources available. And that's really one of the core kind of use cases we're seeing for this consistency of platform. So when we look at actually what we're providing today, these are free capabilities that you can build on top of Windows Server and System Center. And in the first release, we have websites. So this is the same high-density platform as a service offering that is in Azure for hosting websites and web applications. We have virtual machines. So you can think here infrastructure as a service, being able to spin up virtual machines with any kind of image inside that you want to. And then on top of that, we put a service management portal. So if you have an account on Azure, you're used to that self-service experience for provisioning services, and that we call that the tenant portal. But we also have an administration portal, which in Azure wouldn't make sense because we, Microsoft, are the administrators. But when you're deploying this, then as a host or an enterprise, you need that view to be able to manage all the tenants that are working on your infrastructure. And then a bunch of third-party services that you can add yourself. And if you're a hoster, you can integrate with billing services and add more consoles, portals. So when we look at the architecture of how we've built this, we have a service management portal. As you'll see, it has a very a familiar experience consistent with Azure. And that lives on top of an API. So if you want to put a different portal on top, that's perfectly okay with the OData REST API that sits there. And then we build the website's experience on top of Windows Server. We build the virtual machines and infrastructure as a service capability on top of System Center with Windows Server. And I think the best thing to do now is actually to dive in and show you what it looks like. So what we're looking at now is my account on Windows Azure. This is Windows Azure today. If you sign up for a trial account, you'll see exactly the same thing. And on the left-hand side here, we see all the different services that you can provision in Windows Azure. Websites, virtual machines, and there's a lot of other cloud services you can use directly or build into your applications. But I'm going to go ahead and just create a website. So up pops the tray with my different options, and I can create a website as an empty directory, if you like, and put my own custom website web application code in there. But I'm actually going to create from a gallery. I mean, if I did go for the empty folder, there's a very rich integration with tools like GitHub and Team Foundation Server for actually doing the source control on that code. But let's go for the gallery. So Windows Azure already has a range of different categories of apps available. A lot of these should be very familiar: blogs, content management systems, e-commerce. And I'm going to go for one of the easy ones, which is to create a WordPress blog. So let's move ahead with that. So I need to give the blog a name. This is going to be called John Blog. And in the process of creating this, WordPress needs a MySQL database on the back end of that. I'm going to change my region to Western US. Okay. And it's given me a name for MySQL database. I agree to the terms. And click Go. And now, do you wonder what is this doing? So Azure used to have, or still has, the web worker role, but that would actually spin up a virtual machine running IIS. So it's like having a host, a server on site. This is way more intelligent, and it actually enables you to have a much higher density of websites. So it's spinning up an instance on a platform as a service server, which means that you can pack way more websites into the same capacity because each web presence isn't relying on an individual virtual machine. So we see that's up and running now. It's created the site for me. I click through here. I get some different options. I can integrate with source control. I can download some tools. But I want to click straight into the dashboard for this. Okay, so I've just created the site, so we're not really going to see any usage stats just yet. But these would start appearing here. But what I'd like to do is click through to the site we've just created. And bingo. So this is our WordPress blog site. I can give it a title. Password. Oops. And I can go ahead and install WordPress. I'm doing this so that we actually get some activity on the dashboard. So if we take a look back here and do a refresh. Let's try that one more time. Okay, there we go. So we start to see some activity from the WordPress installation. Okay, and I can actually log in there now. And we're ready to roll with our website. So that is the Azure experience today. And there's the WordPress dashboard. So I have a blog. Maybe it's a really popular blog. I write some interesting articles about the UK, where I'm originally from, and you know the whole of the UK wants to come and read them. That means I need to scale up my website. What are my options for doing that? Well, we have really two capabilities when we want to scale a website. We have the mode and an instance count. The general model here is that there's a free tier, an intermediate shared tier where there are more capabilities for a slightly more premium price, and then we can go to actually reserved capacity if we want to have a dedicated capabilities. And we can click between these, and if I save the settings, it's instantaneous. There's no redeployment. I don't have to take the site down, bring it back. The next request after I save will be working against the new mode. And I can actually scale across different instances. So the number of processes that are available to take requests to service web requests. So it's all pretty flexible. And Azure has decided that there are certain limits. So there are going to be six instances. We're going to have these three different modes. Great. So let's look at a different experience. You see my URL here is Azure-based. If I click across to this tab, I have a completely different URL. It's called catalcloud.com. You'll see instead of Windows Azure, it just says Service Management Portal. And what we're looking at, it looks very much like Azure intentionally, but this is actually running at a hoster, SoftLayer. And it's a hoster that we're working with. We've installed Windows Server, we've installed System Center, and Windows Azure services for Windows Server. And
hey, John, let me interrupt real quick. I noticed sure. that the list of items is considerably less than Azure. So I'm assuming then that as you deploy this or when you configure your own kind of the Azure services for Windows Server, you don't actually have to expose everything then, right? You can choose to only expose the pieces that make sense to you.
Absolutely. And that's where the flexibility comes in. This is not a hoster or an enterprise trying to bite off the whole of Azure. It's really taking the experience, taking the services and the pieces that make sense, and as you'll see in a minute, and customizing them. You know, as a hoster, you probably want to differentiate your offering from Azure. You want different pricing. You maybe want a different level of scale, different capacities, quotas. So yeah, absolutely, that's all customizable. And the portal, as you see it, that's all CSS customizable, rebrandable. There's an incredible amount of flexibility in there.
Perfect. Thank you.
So if we look through this, we have capabilities, we have websites, we could have virtual machines, but we have that switched off at the moment. We have some databases. We could have networking in here as well. So just to give you the proof of the pudding, I'm going to create a website. And it looks all very familiar. I have the quick create, or I can go for a gallery. Now this gallery that's popping up, this is customizable. So as a hoster or an enterprise, I may want to put a different list of applications. Maybe some of these would be internal applications for an enterprise. For a hoster, maybe there's some premium offerings in here that attract an extra fee. It's all customizable. For consistency, I'm going to go for the WordPress blog again. It's all very familiar from our previous experience, so I didn't have to learn a new way of doing this. And it's off now, using exactly the same code. And so this is not a copy of the code on Windows Azure, not something that's meant to just look like it. This is actually the same hardened code. And you see my site's up, it's available. I can click into the same dashboard. I already have some usage stats here. I could click through to it. I will spare you yet another WordPress installation. But let's have a look at the scale tab. So it's similar, but it's actually been customized for this installation. So we have three different modes of website. We have a kind of entry level, we have a shared level, and reserved. And it follows the same kind of model, but we've decided to change the names there. And we've also decided to change the way we talk about instances. So in Azure, it actually gets very specific about the resources that are available. And in this instance, we've just chosen to go small, medium, or large. And we've also just limited this to three instances maximum, whereas I think Azure had six. So you can see it's a similar experience, but actually the offering and potentially the pricing around that if you're a hoster are quite different. So the options for customization are quite broad here and quite flexible.
So John, thank you very much for that awesome demo. It's real good to be able to see that I can have that similar experience, whether I'm actually using Azure or using something that's on premises or in a hoster, and have that same experience, right? The same tasks that I perform and the same way I do it is uniform or kind of consistent across. So that really hits home that experience, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I just kind of emphasize, this is our first foray into doing this. It's the first pass. But I think you can, as a roadmap, you can look to see more Azure services kind of moving over into this this area and increasing the capabilities that you can either have with a hoster or on-premises in your enterprise data center.
Yeah, so great. I mean, before we close up then, is there anything else that you want to kind of point out or highlight before we bring this episode to an end?
The main thing I'd like to say is that everything we've seen today is available. Everything I've talked about, everything we've seen, you can go and get the SP1 trial, the Global Service Monitor. Go sign up for a trial with that to go with your SP1 trial. And if you do have System Center and Windows Server running, then the bits for Windows Azure services for Windows Server are a free download from the web platform installer. So, you know, go out there, have fun, and play with the bits.
Awesome. Well, then, thank you very much for your time, John, and I appreciate you taking that time and coming to talk to the IT Pro audience out there about this capability. I mean, it's awesome. And so with that, I do want to thank everyone for joining and, you know, listening to this episode or watching this episode as well of Virtualization and Cloud Experts Cafe, and we'll catch you next time around.